PowerPoints, power lunches, conference calls, reply to all, endless meetings, constant check-ins, and so much
wasted time.
Are you sick of the BS? So are we. It's time to take our time back, rework the way we work, and make every call a call to action. This is a podcast for people who want to stop talking and really start connecting. This is After 12. Hi, Internet. Welcome to After 12. My name is Adam Voss, and I'm your host. I'm also the host of 12for12.com, and this podcast is a follow-up to that long-form show that you can find at 12for12.com. As always, our show is produced by Echelon Design, the same company that provides all the alcohol in the background of this shot and pays my salary. With me is our co-host and the chief creative of Echelon Design and my life partner, Mr. Josh Rush. Josh, how are you doing today?
I couldn't be better, Adam. Thanks for having me here.
You look really good today.
I dressed up just for you, actually.
Well, you look it. Today, Josh, I really want to talk about, as this is the pilot episode of After 12, what is 12 for 12? Why did we do it? And what is this podcast going to be about? Because I don't want people to waste their time.
I think it's pretty special that we're doing this today. When you think about how 12 for 12 started, really, it was an audio podcast at first. And, you know, being that we moved from the audio podcast to more of the docuseries style and have experienced what I'd like to consider some pretty good success with it. We want to, with this podcast, to kind of bring it back around for, you know, for marketers, for designers, for anybody that has any influence over kind of how your company sells, to maybe revisit some of those great episodes and look at more of those direct lines where we can draw some really direct conclusions about what our experience was, having had the opportunity to sit down with some really, you know, really smart people and share that with our audiences. So,
and talk about what happens when the camera isn't rolling. But I want to talk about specifically today, I want to talk about one of my favorite episodes, which was Cards Against Humanity.
Cards Against Humanity is sort of like this like inside joke that got out of control between me and seven friends. We made it together when we were in college. And it was originally intended as just like a fun thing for us to have to play together and make jokes together. So on Kickstarter, we asked for $4,000. So we didn't know anyone who had $4,000 that we could ask. Once we raised $15,000, we had to Google, like, how do you print playing cards? Because we were like, at this point, we kind of need to like make it like an actual product.
How was the first party?
That was fun. The cards guys were always sort of the nerds in school. Like, we would, we sat together at lunch because nobody else wanted to sit with us. They weren't like, it wasn't like a crazy party. It was just something to do on New Year's so we could hang out together.
The reason I want to talk about Cards Against Humanity is because this was the one that, that as a marketing geek on the hunt for cool brands, as our show slate says.
Which is entirely true.
I'm definitely a geek.
A marketing
whore. I play the flute and I do, you know, other geekish things. I knit small sweaters, but I'm more of a dork or an asshole. I'm probably more of an asshole, to be honest with you. But anyway, regardless of the slate, we went and we talked to Max Temkin, one of the original founders and really kind of the unproclaimed chief executive of Cards Against Humanity, if there was one.
And he's not the boss.
And it was unlike any other interview I've ever had on this show or any others. I don't know, Josh, let's start with...
The cards episode, you know, we're focused on it today because, you know, we wanted to talk about, I guess for us, this idea, this concept that a company or brand can exist solely on the notion of the joke, right? And in the sense that, you know, Cards Against Humanity is to the point of like being absurd and crude, and there's some really awful humor in there, and their entire brand is architected around that. You know, it's funny because I think many marketers today are struggling with how do I differentiate, and
that word is probably the first thing. Don't use that word.
You don't use words like differentiate.
Or synergy.
You know, or don't use synergy.
Or don't use words like leverage.
Leverage or like, you know, how can we really maximize the value chain? No, I mean, so it's one of these things where, it's funny because for several years, you know, you and I struggled with how we wanted to shape the brand. Like, I mean, the culture of the company has evolved again from, you know, one that started back in 1986 and really was, you know, at Echelon more of a conservative brand. And a lot of our clients obviously are B2B marketing organizations. And so these are folks that, you know, it's traditionally buttoned up suit and tie, and you can't say bad words and you can't be too funny and you can't offend anybody. Yeah. It's very politically correct. And that's, you know, not an environment that neither you or I've thrived in or many of our people thrive in. I mean, we are, you know, at the end of the day, it's business to everyone, not business to business or business to consumer. And so, you know, we were looking for ways to really kind of tweak the tone of our brand. And we debated for like literally 3 years. Like, you would ask me, well, what do you, you know, what do you do? Like, what do you want to do? What motivates you? It's like, man, I just want to build cool shit. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's you know, a pop-up bathroom in an airport terminal, or if it's a, you know, if it's a great video series or a concert or a killer trade show.
But yet kept going back to the bathroom.
But I kept going back to the bathroom. Spastic colon has really been a problem.
All right. Well, then let's talk about Cards Against Humanity. Cards Against Humanity holds 99% off sale for cars, diamonds, and golden dildos. This is the very best Black Friday sale of all, as noted by The Verge online.
For the last few years, we've done these sort of Black Friday sales. Like, everyone's doing some bullshit on Black Friday. No one gives a shit about the people who buy their things. They just want to extract the most money out of them that they can. Yep. And people bend over backwards, having some sort of contortion to be like, oh, it's, we love our customers and we're gonna give you these deals because we, it's like subconsciously, people clearly understand that that's manipulative and that it's obviously in the interest of the seller to do these things. The first year we came up with this idea of like, let's raise all our prices by $5. So we did a $5 more Black Friday sale. It was a funnier and more honest position to take to be like, yeah, we want your money. So here's the ploy that we've come up with to like capture your attention and money.
This year, with their disdain for the capitalistic holiday, they rose to an absurd new extreme with a 99% off sale on a rotating series of expensive and spectacularly bizarre items. Holy, quote unquote, holy fuck, have we got some deals, reads the official website. Quote, every 10 minutes, a new deal will go live on this page. Don't be frightened by the deals. Just click and let the savings wash over you. Now, Josh, as you're somebody that looks at P&L, and I refuse to, you know what an incredible cost that may have been to them. But I guarantee the fandom that went with that display of incredible absurdity is worth every penny.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing. And when I look back on, you know, the time spent with Max, I mean, he was such a... how do I put this lightly? But I mean, he's a bit of a douchebag, right? I mean, he's smart and he knows he's smart.
I'm not saying that, Max.
And he plays that card.
Get out of my mind, Max.
I am. I hope the fans begin to troll, because then it means that at least somebody's watching the show right now.
Well, the Max trolled us right after on Twitter. He changed his Twitter handle to a marketing geek on the hunt for cool brands.
I love the comment that somebody said, really, a hoodie with a sports coat? I thought that...
I'm wearing a hoodie now.
When was that? I thought that was no longer cool. Your wardrobe was definitely being called into
question. I'm a Gen Xer. I'm 44. Give me a break. I'm not cool. I have two kids that are teenagers.
What I guess I really liked about some of the things that you and Max talked about was, well, what, you know, when questioned with, should we or shouldn't we do this? Should we as Echelon and 12 for 12 Productions launch into another production where we're going to have to put the time and the resources in to do it? There's a couple things. And when you are faced with this as a marketer to say, well, should we or shouldn't we? And it seems oftentimes like they're really difficult decisions. But Max put it so well when I said to paraphrase that, like, you know, you have to ask yourself, is it going to serve in the best interest of your brand?
It is kind of like a values-driven organization, but like the only value that we care about with Cards is being funny. So it's like, what's in the service of the voice of the game, the sort of character of the game, and what's funny? And everything else follows from that. But if you don't have any principles and you're like, should we license the game out in a language we don't speak? No, it's a really tricky question, because it's like, do you want to leave money on the table? Are there people who would really enjoy it? Are we going to know if it's good? How do you weigh all that stuff? If you come at it from the angle of game's got to be as funny as possible, well, obviously you don't publish it in a language you don't speak, because it's not going to be as funny as possible. It's an easy question.
For Cards, it's like whether they, you know, raise prices on Black Friday or sell, you know, a box of bullshit, you know, or spend an extraordinary amount of money to buy land at the border, to put up billboards in protest of the wall. You know, for them, the answer is simple. It's yes. It's all about the joke. It's not as, maybe it's not as simple for, you know, everyday Joe marketers or Sherry marketers out there. We, you know, we have a lot of red tape. We have, you know, bosses and bosses and bosses. And we, you know, if we don't have this all put together perfectly in a PowerPoint, there's no way we're going to get anybody to sign off on it. But, you know, if you're even, you know, thinking about, well, should we do this? Should we, you know, and we being you, launch into a podcast series, right? I mean, we're doing this because
I was wholly against it.
I'm not a podcaster. It's like you and I are not podcast guys. Like, so this for us is brand new, but, you know, we know that there's a large majority of our potential audience or people that would work with us that are tuning in while they're at work. I don't want to say an empty channel, but there's not as much noise in this channel right now. And we have the freedom to just kind of blab on. So, I mean, you can ask yourself like, okay, well, there's, does this serve in the best interest of the brand? And I also like this idea of like, you know, adopting a mentality or a mantra of why the hell not, right? Why the hell
well,
not?
That,
if it serves
that,
in the best interest of the brand, why the hell not?
Yeah. I mean, well, that's the whole heart of, and soul of cards is that, you know, they are uniquely themselves and they, you know, they're not going to apologize for being themselves. And I think so many companies take a position of apology because the consumer is king. I mean, really the consumer is everything now. And if you piss off the consumer, then you're in trouble. But with Cards Against Humanity, the whole notion is to the integrity of the joke. And their brand is really every customer interaction that shows that they have integrity. And, you know, and I've felt this in my own life when I've done comedy or I've done, you know, comedic band stuff. It's like, you know, people think that just because you're a jagoff or an asshole, you don't have integrity. And I would almost say that's kind of this great duality with Max and the company is that they're actually not assholes, you know. They are just totally unique, and they're not going to apologize for being unique. And really, until we talked to Max, Max was the first person that said, "Well, you're throwing this word brand out. What is a brand?"
The idea of like just thinking about like the brand is sort of a weird thing.
Do you not like thinking of yourself as a brand?
Oh, well, what's a brand? How do you want to define a brand?
That's a good question in itself. I mean, I would say a brand is something that you can affix, you know, value to, or I mean, a brand could be, you know, my name, your name, the company.
Are you a brand? If anybody could be a brand, then, you know, then anything can be a brand. And then again, you're just speaking in words like leverage or synergy or, you know,
existential crisis, peace.
Yeah. And I mean, the second tenet, really be unique. Don't copy anyone. Don't look at the competition and say, oh, you know, well, you know, apples to apples did this, so we're going to do this. Just do your own thing, you know, be your own thing.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, we always say here that if you're really and truly worried about the competition, you've got bigger problems, right?
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. I agree. And again, I mean, it's kind of interesting because, you know, again, for probably our immediate audience of people that would be listening to this show or watching this show first, you have a conservative, you know, marketing organization, or you're within that, or you're confined or constrained by it. You know, for consumer brands that are traditionally consumer brands that have that kind of freedom to take chances, you know, you aren't as afraid. And again, it's so tough because it's so easy for us to like look at, we were chatting about this, you know, the other day. It's like, well, you know, look at what Nike has just done with its JDI, with its Just Do It campaign with Colin Kaepernick. You know, obviously, you know, it's like an issue that's already at a flashpoint. And they just, you know, drop in, you know, a little extra fuel, and I managed to piss off a large, you know, portion of people who would probably find themselves on the right side of the spectrum in this country and still win huge. I mean, like the results of that campaign have only further endeared them with the target market that they're trying to hit. And the people who would even disagree with it are still buying their gear because, you know, it is front and center. So, I mean, it's like, but you know, not every company is going to be able to take that kind of risk, right? Or there is at least extreme
we're human beings.
Aversion
I mean,
to
even
risk.
Max, like, you know, my notion of playing the game with local Chicago celebrities at a bar where we can have some cocktails, you know, it was predicated by his kind of rebuttal. No one's going to think it's fun. It's going to look produced or staged. I just found an email from him the other day and I was just thinking, all right, maybe it will, but like the game is itself. And if we're ourself, we're going to have a good time. I just think, you know, one of the ironies of human nature is that their brand is totally based on this yes and improv comedy premise. But as human beings, we are also living as our own worst enemies and blocking kind of what we think would be stupid. So we say no, we don't go for it. You know what I mean?
I didn't want to be on the show either, honestly.
No, exactly. It's like, I think about how many times I've said no to you, no, because this won't work. I mean, I said it today. But if you have, if somebody says, hey, man, you're blocking right now, just see what happens, go with it. Most times it's going to go much better than you thought and you're going to be happier because you did it. So again, I think, you know, the be unique, take a chance, go for it. What's the worst thing that could happen? Think about Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder, you know, playing an Australian who is in blackface, playing a Vietnam, you know, war sergeant, you know, in the jungle, and giving a speech about never going full retard, but yet he as an actor is very meta. He's definitely going full retard.
This brings up the fifth point. I don't even know if we've covered three, but this is definitely point number five that we'd like to address on the show today, which is take a stand, but stay on brand.
Never go full retard.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, you know, stay on brand. And if your brand is about like pushing the envelope, which is what Card's brand is about. I mean, it's, you know, it's funny, like when we asked Max Temkin what his favorite card was, he said it was geese. Now that is when you know that you've pushed the boundary of comedy so far that the word geese is hysterical. And, you know, it's almost like a higher point of like comedic evolution where you're just like,
yes, I really think it was just another thumb in your eye.
I don't know, maybe. I think geese is pretty funny.
I mean, it's funny the way we cut it in the episode, but like when he said it, you had this look like you have this tendency of getting nervous and like pulling eyebrows or like fidgeting with your beard. And I remember being on set.
That's why I carry these.
You know, this is like, you're just working it like this. It was like, oh my God, this guy's freaking killing me. He's totally killing me right now.
I mean, I went to the bathroom and put on like stage makeup and I did this. I got to tell you.
I don't know why we don't have any alcohol in here right now. I'm going to have to talk to my producer who's left the room because he's trying to figure out whether or not we have our podcast studio for another few minutes. We're working on that.
We're almost done. I think the last point, you know, and I mentioned it earlier, is integrity. We've talked about, you know, have like why the hell not approach, be unique. Be the brand in everything you do. I think one of the things is, you know, with Cards Against Humanity is they give a ton of attitude, but they really give back.
If you happen to be one of the horrible people who have purchased the game, you can feel slightly less horrible knowing that the Cards Against Humanity team has put your money to good use. The Cards team has made serious philanthropy one of the core values in a very funny business. They are one of the most philanthropic companies I think we've talked with. And again, like I said earlier, socially and politically charged from the point of like, you know, buying a plot of land on the Mexican US border so they could they could thwart Donald Trump's wall to, you know, giving to World Busters and the Sunlight Foundation and EFF and Donors Choose and the Wikimedia Foundation and the Chicago Design Museum, and they keep giving to political campaigns that are doing righteous things. I think, you know, that's impressive to me, and I think that's what more companies need to do.
Yeah. No, I agree, and I think for me, you know, when I think about the defying convention, it's like, you know, just because the other cool kids in school are doing it too, it's like you don't Like right now, the trend is to, you know, to be, you know, racier, to be more full retard. Basically, it's like we want to take all these chances. It's like, it's okay not to as well. Like, you know, if it doesn't call for it, like, I mean, if you are, you know, we've got some clients like this too. I mean, it's like we are an aftermarkets, you know, manufacturer of a thing that goes into the very tail end of a thing. You know, it probably doesn't make sense to push the boundaries too far. It's okay, I would say, to defy convention, which is currently trending towards taking more chances and being riskier and trying to be, you know, the joke or be funny. It's like, you know, maybe not. You know, maybe it's okay to just stay the course. You know, you're there for a reason. It's okay. You don't need to change. It doesn't mean you don't need to make good, high quality content and killer exhibits keep coming to us.
Well, no, I think, you know, you do you, as like, you know, my son and daughter say to me. It's like, especially in Palm Springs where we currently are. No, I just think like the Cards team is doing what they love doing. They're doing it well. They're the number one analog game ever sold on Amazon and currently still the reigning champ. And they don't care. I mean, clearly 99% off sale on selected goods that pop up.
They do care. They care about the joke.
They care, exactly. They don't care about the money.
They care about the money too, because they know that if the joke is good, the money will come. If they didn't make money, they probably wouldn't care. Or not care as much.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, but I don't think their driving passion in the business is the money. I think if this was still a fledgling, you know, card game that nobody bought, but they still loved, they'd still do it.
That's another good point. Like the moment when he said they finally made it, like, and it wasn't serious. It's never been serious, but it was a real business, yeah. And they had to, you know, figure out how to do it. It was like that moment, you know, where he. You know, he said, how did he say? It's like, you know, when you finally make it, like for you and me, right? I mean, for 12 for 12, you know, our I think our end all be all goal would be, you know, to reach some level of status where we had hundreds of thousands of people tuning in to watch, you know, our episodes and maybe one day the podcast. You know, for us, we would feel like we made it and we were successful and it would just motivate us to do more. But for Max, he said like that moment where they reached success, it was like, you know, taking something you love and then, you know, and then immediately, you know, robbing you of all the joy of that thing that you, you know, wanted to do. And that's a really long way to paraphrase what he said.
Clearly, because I don't think he plays the game much anymore. And I think when he played with us and we wanted to show that it was a fun game, I mean, I had, to be honest, at that point, I had never played it. I had only heard about it. And I played it live on camera with, you know, the head production officer for DDB, the guy that runs the Bulls halftime show.
Some Mars douche Pins. With an acoustic guitar.
Hysterical comedian. And then Karen Harold, who designs all the great restaurants in Chicago for Studio K.
Yeah, man, it was
fun. And then Max. It was an awesome game. I love the game. Now I own the game. And
when's the last time you played it?
I haven't played it since that day. No. I think the last time I played it was like a month ago.
Just be honest. Don't lie to me.
It was a month and a year ago.
A month and a year ago. We started and we stopped. But we thought about it.
I don't know who you're talking about.
We had talked about it at one point. We were trying to think of like funny little bits because like as we get further along in the show and we hope that we do more than one of these, which we will, that it actually gets better. Kind of like our 12 for 12 show started out like it was good.
Pretty awful.
Yeah, it was okay. Probably better than what this first podcast is going to be. But I think we've only got this podcast to go from here. Better
if we were in the same spot. I mean, you're outside of Atlanta. I'm in Palm Springs.
It's kind of like one of those commercials for like kids that are special needs that need like a robot assisted iPad. That's what I feel like right now. Is that not okay to say?
I think you're better off saying full retard.
So just cut that out. There.
Well, that concludes the first episode of our show. I hope everyone out there is happy that this isn't a regular time signature. I don't think this is ever going to be a straight length. Just as we say on 12 for 12, I've only got 12 minutes to tell their story. We've only got less than 43 minutes to tell the podcast. So thank you for everyone out there that's tuned in. Tune in next time when we talk about another episode of 12 for 12. But until then, Josh, closing word is...
Marketing geeks,
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes episode one of After 12, our podcast series. But join us next time in a few weeks when we'll have the second episode fully edited. Until then, enjoy a good book at home. Reading is not overrated.